This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
You listen to the Bite Size Business Breakfast podcast, Best Bits from BB on Wednesday, June the 19th. Big focus on the GEMS deal. What's that deal? Brookfield, the Canadian conglomerate, financial conglomerate, have announced that they are looking to invest into GEMS education. We're told there was a joint statement coming out from the two organisations, told that the deal is likely to get across the line in Q3 of this year. So we looked at some of the details, know so far on this deal, which would see a significant private equity investment into the largest schools operator here in the UAE. Elsewhere, we looked at a number of reports coming through with regards to Dubai and its places around the world. Ted Rafool was in. Ted came into the studio to talk to us about the latest Mercer report. It's their cost of living city ranking 2024. Dubai jumping up the ranking to become the costliest city in the Middle East for international employees. What's that tell us about the state of play here at the moment? We were also joined by Greg Wright. Greg's the co-founder and the managing partner at Food People. Question we put to Greg is, as Dubai becomes the costliest city in the Middle East for international employees, as per those latest rankings and surveys, how are those costs playing out in salary negotiations on the ground? And Greg giving some interesting insights into salary expectations and realities. Also, what with summer upon us already. A lot of people getting away for the recent Eid break. A lot of people getting away for the summer in the coming weeks as well. So we're always looking for indicators of just how busy it could be. None more so than the team at Dubs by Donata, because they have seen a 40% increase in demand for their services. Their services, of course, being the airport check-in service on your doorstep at your home rather than going to the airport, an opportunity to avoid long check-in queues at the airport this summer. Some passengers opting to use at-home check-in services to travel hassle-free and make sure that somebody else is taking care of their luggage. Well, that certainly seemed to be the case after our conversation with Summer, who talked not just about the uptick in demand, but also the increase in their various services. That's all right here on the Bite Size Business Breakfast Podcast.
This morning, we're looking at consortiums and indices with a lot of zeros around them. It's all about the money. It's all about the dum dum da da dum. I don't think it's funny. See us fade away. It's all about the money. It is indeed one of the biggest deals that we are talking about this morning. School might have been out for kids, but it was not out for the founders and the management and the accountants at GEM, Tom Burkett.
Yeah, this is this Brookfield story that is doing the rounds at the moment. No big surprise. They've shown intent in the past. In fact, Bloomberg previously reporting that the Canadian investment firm Brookfield Asset Management were looking to invest into GEMS. At the time, they were suggesting around about $2 billion. That's not being confirmed or denied. But what we do know as a result of a joint statement yesterday is that this consortium led by Brookfield Asset Management, including the likes of Gulf Islamic Investments, Marathon Asset Management, State Oil Fund of Azerbaijan, have signed this binding agreement to invest in GEMS education. Q3 this year, that's when they expect the completion of the deal. GEMS and Brookfield, as I said, confirming all this yesterday in a joint statement. No financials to talk about here. All we do know is that both companies looking towards signing this deal before the end of Q3. Dina Varkey, Group CEO of GEMS, saying we're well positioned for future growth thanks to a supportive operating environment that's driving record enrollments underpinned by a strong UAE economy, growing population. GEMS, of course, began operation single school back in Dubai back in 1959, in fact, now the largest private school operator in the UAE, among the biggest education providers globally. And that's obviously what the likes of Brookfield Asset Management have been spying. As was mentioned a little bit earlier on, we had a 30% buy. I think it was a 30% stake in GEMS that was bought in 2019 by CVC Capital Partners. They had led the consortium back then. But that also resulted in the exit of the investor group led by Fajr Capital, which had been in place since 2014. So there has been private equity and investment into the GEMS brand, but certainly if we get this one across the line, which it looks for all intents and purposes it is, it will be the largest monetary-wise to date.
All right, so that's one of the big deals we're talking about this morning. Abu Dhabi's also got a couple that it's been working on. Quietly, all the rest of us have been enjoying an Eid holiday.
Yeah, Platinum Ivy, a name that I hadn't heard of before this morning, is a unit of Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, and it's bidding to buy Hargreaves Lansdown, which is one of the biggest stockbrokers in the UK. It's a $7 billion deal. Yesterday, their second bid was submitted, and management accepted that bid in principle. Who is Platinum Ivy? To me, it sounds like a character from the Lego Movie.
I think it sounds
your DJ
like
name?
A Beyonce, Jay-Z child we haven't heard of yet.
So we're thinking along the same lines. No one else has heard of it. So I googled Platinum Ivy, Adia, to find out. And Google, not only did it not come up with anything, it also, you know, when it says no search results, maybe you meant this. And it said maybe you meant Platinum Ivy Asia. And it's like, no, Google, I meant Platinum Ivy, Adia. And they said, well, it's got nothing. Basically, there's no reference to it on the interweb before Tuesday afternoon. And this bid for Hargreaves Lansdown. Anyway, that's by the by. It's just a unit of Adia. They all have these various different bits and pieces. The other one that Adia is buying is a stake in the hedge fund of Ken Fisher, the American billionaire. He's 73. He says, I'm fine. I'm not dying, but I will. So I'm sorting out my legacy and my succession, selling a stake in the hedge fund that I founded, and Adia's buying a stake in that. And it's just all, to use that phrase again, bits of the jigsaw of the UAE becoming a bigger player on the global stage. Two outflows of money globally, Adia into London, stockbroker, into the United States hedge fund, and then massive inflows of money. You've got Brookfield, the global firm, Canadian but global, buying into GEMS. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah, there is indeed. We've also got a couple of indices that we are looking at this morning. One is competitiveness, the UAE climbing up the ranks of the IMD World Competitiveness Report. This is Khadija Haq of Emirates MBD putting that in context for us.
The UAE moved up three places to seventh place in the World Competitiveness Ranking, which is put together by the International Institute for Management Development. The UAE scored highly for infrastructure, the tax regime, and a business-friendly environment, and is the only GCC country ranked in the top 10 most competitive countries this year. However, Qatar is not far behind at number 11, and Saudi Arabia has also moved up one place to number 16. As other GCC countries continue to invest in infrastructure and push ahead with structural reforms to attract foreign investment, the UAE also needs to continue improving the business environment. That can be through simplifying regulations, reducing the costs of doing business, and making the UAE the destination of choice for both individuals and corporations in the region.
All right, so that's one index. We've also been looking at Mercer's cost of living index. We've moved up the ranks there as well. Less of a good thing, potentially. The UAE now the most, 15th rather, most expensive city for international hires. We are going to hear from the guys at Mercer a little bit later on in the studio, in the show rather, this morning. We've had both Mercer and the recruitment company in the studio to tell us how it's playing out on the ground.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
We're going to dig now into one of our top business stories this morning. Dubai has risen three places in Mercer's annual cost of living index for 2024. We are the 15th most expensive city for expat employees to be based. Very pleased to be joined now by Ted Raffel, who is the Regional Career and Workforce Products Lead for that business at Mercer. Ted, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brandy.
Do you want to really quickly just remind us what you guys look at, how you measure things for this index?
Absolutely. So Mercer works with many multinational companies around the world, and we help them when it comes to moving their employees around. And we look at a certain basket of goods and services in different cities, and we try to determine differentials in cost of living and quality of life and other indicators as well. And as a result of that, we also announce annual rankings around cost of living per city.
Right. So you're measuring everything from olive oil to a cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
Dubai is up three places this year to number 15. Tell us what we know about why we're rising. What's the main factor in that basket?
Sure. I guess what you know is rental price increases, right? That is the main reason for that price increase, ranking increase. We've seen price increase of about 15% for, let's say, three-bedroom apartments. We've seen price increases of over 30% for houses. Different increases for different types of properties. But yes, quite a drastic increase when it comes to rental prices.
The thing that struck me most about our rental price rise in this report wasn't just that they were higher. We know that. We're feeling that. It's the pace that our rents are rising at compared to other major cities around the world. Cities that we know rents are climbing, like Singapore.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dubai is a city with the fastest rent increase over the last annual period out of all major cities in the world, right? So quite unusual. And if you look at the other cities that grew, that rose that high as well, you're talking Hong Kong, you're talking Singapore, generally there's a lack of space in those cities. There's always been a consistent problem when it comes to supply. You could speculate there's a similar problem in Dubai as well, but there's also massive demand in Dubai. I think that's where demand is potentially outpacing supply. But generally, you'll see that this sort of rent increase is unusual for a city such as Dubai, where you have the space to grow.
Right. So, just to put that in comparison for people, we're looking at you look at a three-bed property, don't you? 15% increase. Singapore average increase 10%. And we know that Singapore over the last couple of years has had some of the world's highest increases in accommodation. New York, which you mentioned, 6%. Hong Kong is 7%. We're not in the top 10, though, when it comes to being the most expensive. It's still all about Europe. What's keeping us out of the top 10 most expensive cities?
Yeah, so you look at the top 10, you'll see the two Asian cities, Singapore and Hong Kong, and then most of the other cities are actually European cities, mostly in Switzerland, London as well being in the top 10. Part of it is currency exchange rates. So you'll see that sometimes there's fluctuation in rankings purely because of currencies. But effectively, the main reason why those cities have stayed up and continue to stay up as well is not just on rental prices, but inflation, just general average CPI, or consumer price index, has been very high in some of the countries. A lot of it is due to supply chain issues where they're not able to bring in the right products at the right time, and that causes some price increases.
So does it make us less competitive? The other index we've got out this morning, we've got the IMD World Competitiveness Index. We've come in at number 7th. We're doing better in that as well. What does making it more expensive to place your international employees here in Dubai mean for how competitive the city is and where people choose to put people?
Sure. It is obviously a factor to competitiveness. And what I can tell you is that the government actively looks at cost of living and is actively looking at how it could potentially reduce it, right? So it is a factor to have this because obviously if it's more expensive, it's more difficult to bring people in to live and spend their money and time here.
But if we look at the expansions in places like DIFC, we know how full those desks are. We know how full the roads generally are. Mm-hmm. Is it stopping companies from doing it?
So far, no. You still have quite a major purchasing power differential over other countries, right? I think that's what's key here, is that while purchasing power has reduced a bit over the last few years in the UAE, it still is quite high due to the lack of income taxes. It's still quite attractive for employees to be here. Also, while there are some corporate taxes now, generally not as extensive as you see in other countries either. So it is still attractive to be here, absolutely.
Okay, so what kind of equation are companies doing then between the cost of putting people here and the importance of being boots on the ground, of being in market?
So they're looking at a combination of these factors, right? So whatever the tax payments may be, they're looking at a cost of living, but also looking at salaries they need to pay out. And obviously, as cost of living goes up, you see more and more pressure on compensation, right? So they're asking for higher compensation. Now, over the last couple of years, we haven't seen necessarily compensation move up as fast as prices increase, right? So we're clearly seeing, according to our surveys, we're clearly seeing a reduction in purchasing power. That said, generally, purchasing power here is still, for the most part, higher than many other countries.
Okay, a couple of things that stuck out to me in this report. Not quite sure about, made me scratch my head. Abu Dhabi, coming in quite a way down from Dubai's 15th place at 43rd. Is there really such a difference in the cost of living between the two cities?
It's mostly around rental prices. So what we see is that Dubai rental prices in the last few years have risen significantly above what you'll see in Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi hasn't actually risen that much in the last couple of years. We haven't seen much of a rise according to our surveys. Now, again, our surveys, we look at a very specific set of properties, but we haven't really seen much of a rise in Abu Dhabi.
Okay. Well, the other big recruitment and talent retention story that we have had in the last couple of years has obviously been Saudi. Riyadh as well, we're hearing about rents and cost of living, and yet Riyadh and Jeddah only just making it into the top 100 most expensive cities. How so?
What you also have to keep in mind is that when we look at these rankings, we're looking at a global ranking with all cities in the world. Inflation has been very, very high in most cities around the world. What we haven't realized living in Dubai or in UAE generally is that the average CPI in most countries has been very high, in the high single digits or sometimes in double digits. We haven't necessarily seen that in the UAE, except for rental prices in particular. So when you're looking at CPI of, let's say, high single digits or low double digits in other cities, that increases the entire rank, that increases their ranking quite significantly. Riyadh, of course, we're seeing a big influx of population now. They're attracting a lot of people. We are expecting them to move up in their rankings fast over time, but so far, not so much.
Okay. Before I let you go, we've got 1 minute left with you. The other thing that you look at, well, many things you look at in this report, but you look at the cost versus the quality of living. How does Dubai do that?
It does quite well because while it has a high cost of living, it also does rank quite high when it comes to quality of life. So what we've been trying to do over the last couple of years is looking at a ratio of cost to quality. Right, and to see where different cities stack up, where's the best city for you to live in. And Dubai, I mean, we don't have an official ranking for it yet, but Dubai stacks up quite well.
And Ted Raful, Regional Career and Workforce Products Business Lead at Mercer, speaking to us this morning as they release the 2024 Mercer Annual Cost of Living Index, Dubai rising three places up to the 15th most expensive city in the world to place your international staff. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Ted's officially on holiday, by the way, but he has broken it to come in and speak to us this morning. We are going to be having a look at the conversations that recruiters are having with employers and would-be employees on the ground in about 20 minutes. We've got Greg Wright from Food People joining us to talk to us about what this looks like on the ground.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Digging in a little bit more detail to our top story of the morning, Dubai climbing three places up Mercer's cost of living index for this year to number 15. What does that mean? And when it comes to attracting talent to the city, we are joined by Greg Wright. He's the co-founder and managing partner of the recruitment experts and headhunters Food People. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Right. How much is the cost of living featuring in the conversations that you are having with candidates?
So look, I think this conversation has been around for longer than this report. And I think it will continue to go on as we move through the coming months. I think what's important is that although the UAE has risen, or Dubai has risen by three places, a number of other cities have also risen as well. So we're seeing these conversations not just from expats in Dubai, but also from the wider GCC. I think the big surprise to me was seeing Riyadh going backwards. From my perspective, I'm really shocked by that. We about 60% of our revenue is in Saudi Arabia, so we've got a real strong understanding of that market. We're placing a number of executives there, and what we're hearing on the ground is the cost of living there is significantly rising, and the shortage on rental property is really, 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 really tough. There are actually waiting lists on key areas for some of the candidates that we're placing. So I was very surprised. For flats, yeah, in key areas like Kaft and some of the financial districts, etc. So we're seeing that, we're hearing that from people that we're placing. And all you have to do is get in a taxi when you're there and speak to a taxi driver, a local, and he will give you the same story. So I was super shocked when I saw that go backwards.
Okay, so that's Riyadh, that's Saudi. Concentrating on Dubai for a second, rising up to number 15, what are you telling those looking to move into Dubai for jobs that you maybe weren't telling them 3 or 4 years ago?
So look, the important thing for us is we're always transparent with people moving into the region. And I think, the days of high benefits coming into the UAE have long gone. And, you know, ultimately people should move to Dubai because of other things apart from cash or benefits. So what we do is we educate them on what's really happening here on the ground. And that is that salaries now are not increasing. And I've said this in multiple reports, and people might not like hearing this, but, you know, I did a vote last night within my team. 50% of our team said that salaries hadn't moved in the last 12 months. 50% actually said they went backwards. Okay, so again, it's about educating talent that if they're just looking to jump role or move country for a salary increment, that may not be the case anymore.
Okay, so what is the value proposition? What are you selling them?
The value proposition is the quality of life. And I think if you look at that report towards the end of it, if we look at cost versus quality, for me, that's the key factor. You know, the schooling here, the education, the safety, all of those things. And Forbes is still saying that we're the 11th best city to live in the world. So ultimately, everybody has a choice. And do they want to live in a great city or not?
People have to pay the rent and the school fees, though. Mm. So if we're not seeing wages move, what are we seeing happening to benefits? What kind of flexibility are you hearing from employers?
Look, I think from an employer perspective, they do need to look at hiring and talent with a slightly different approach. And I think if I look at Dubai and the UAE and even the wider Middle East, I do believe that we are quite backward in the way that we hire. Their criteria in which what they want on that CV is perfection. And perfection doesn't exist when it comes to talent. So I think what we're trying to educate our clients is to be a lot more flexible in the way that they approach. So, for example, what we are seeing is people are open to 70% of those must-haves for a job. Or what they're saying to us is, get me somebody, you know, 2 years below or 2 years less experience that wants to make the jump up. Whereas before, it was always like for like. So we are starting to see that. Another key thing is obviously hybrid working, which we are seeing. Personally, I don't agree with hybrid working, but we are seeing it come through from certain organizations.
Why don't you agree with it?
I think because in the UAE today, we're really driving the youth into the workforce. There are a lot of initiatives, particularly in Emiratization, to get the youth into the workforce. I believe that if we want that youth to be successful and give them a real platform for success, they need to be around more experienced people to grow, learn, and develop. At home, you just don't get that exposure. Now, we do. We have 1 day a week, and that works for our business. But I think when it comes to hybrid, it's all very much based on the company itself, the culture that company has, and how well it performs.
Okay. Popping our head back into the report, Abu Dhabi, quite a way down from Dubai, that's listed at number 43. We spoke to Ted Raful of Mercer earlier. He said that's because of rents. How are you seeing that play out in recruitment? Is there a big difference?
I wouldn't say we feel a difference. There is always a preference to be in Dubai. It's obviously a little bit more cosmopolitan. But at Food People, we work with everything from farms to hotels to food manufacturers. And that spans right across the Middle East, including Abu Dhabi. And that individual wants that type of opportunity, they will go to Abu Dhabi. You know, I still speak to people that make that commute every day. They prefer to do that versus live there.
Is there any differential in wages between the two cities?
Not at all.
30 seconds left with you on Saudi. Mm. You mentioned the big cost of living in Riyadh. How's that playing out in wages at the moment?
In my opinion, Saudi and the UAE is on a level playing field.
For wages?
For wages, absolutely. I think it's came right on par. So back in the day, you probably get 20 to 30% increase for going. I think that's disappeared. That would be my message to the market. If you want to go to Saudi, you have to go for the journey, not for the salary increase.
20 seconds, what's your theory as to why it's come down?
I would say that it's, you know, the market is growing at a rapid rate and these companies can't continue to afford these high salaries to attract talent to the market. There's talent there right now, so they don't necessarily need to go and purchase it. So that would be my reason for it, if I was to answer that immediately. One thing I would say, though, before I go is I think today there might be some knee-jerk reactions from employees going into their employer asking for pay rises. I think when it comes to compensation and benefits, it should only change based on performance. It shouldn't be based on inflation. It shouldn't be based on cost of living. It should be based on the individual's performance and if they are adding value.
Greg Wright, co-founder, managing partner of the People Placing People, Food People, talking to us this morning on the back of their Mercer report, Dubai rising 3 places at the index when it comes to how expensive it is to place international hires. We are now at number 15.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Right, we're constantly looking for evidence and indicators of the great getaway. We know that a lot of people, me included, went away for the Eid break. We know that people are obviously planning their summer getaways at present. It's not often that you see Eid, the Hajj pilgrimage, and of course the early summer getaway all coming together as one. Has that therefore prompted the numbers that have been predicted to obviously be heading to and from the airport over the course of the next few days? As a means of taking one for the team and doing a bit of research, as I headed back to London last week on Friday, I did what I usually do, leave things to the last minute, lastminute.com as always, and then look to heed the advice of mates saying, mate, there's no point going to the airport unless you're using Dubs, powered by Donata, the home baggage check-in and boarding pass collection service, which basically brings the airport to your home. The vans are constantly in and around my community, reached out. But you know what? They were busy. And that, for me, is an indicator of the great getaway. So I want to put that to the man that can for us this morning. Our special guest joining us live in studio now is the COO and co-founder of Dubs by Donata. Sama Sorpu joins us live here in studio. Sama, great to see you as always.
And great to see you. Thank you for having me.
So let's put that question to you. Are you... My suggestion is that you're seeing an uptick in demand at the moment. Why? I'm seeing the vans more often. I'm hearing people talk about it more often. We talk about how many people are using the airport. Is that the case for you?
Absolutely. You said it right that there are peak summer demand right now for travel. Millions of passengers are expected to fly out of Dubai Airport and to come back end of the summer. And this makes the majority of our customer base, which are mostly residents, families, whether it's expats or locals flying back to their home countries or to vacation homes. So because of that, we are very busy outside the airport as the airport is busy as well.
Have you got a sort of year-on-year increase as to how much demand's going up?
Since we started the service, we've been seeing this yearly increase. So this particular year is around 40% compared to the same period last year. And this is based on people talking, as you said, more marketing and the airports being busy.
Yeah.
So more people are researching how can we avoid the crowds in the airport, and the home check-in service provided by Dubs is one of the easiest ways to travel.
Donata investing in Dubs back in 2018. So it's been quite a while since the first announcement came up as well. We know that during that time there was the small matter of COVID for the world of aviation to deal with as well. But again, it goes back to what you've just said there, this word of mouth. Is the message getting out there now that the Dubs offering and what you guys are providing is a bit of a game changer for travelers here?
Yes, and we get this feedback from the customers. So for us, we see a lot of repeat customers. So those who use us once actually use us again every time they travel. And they also refer us to their friends and families, because the way that travel is becoming right now more stressful because of the crowds, especially in summer. And with our service, it becomes less stressful, more seamless. And there's a lot of comfort knowing that your bags are checked in, comply with the right weight, your documents are all as they should be because the check-in agent verifies the documents at home. So it gives the travel experience more joy because it's now more comfortable. You're done with the biggest part and the most stressful part, which is check-in at your home, and then you can just go to the airport just before the flight.
Could not agree more, especially if you're traveling with family, especially if there's multiple bags as well. But what I found fascinating about the service, and I wonder if, you know, we often talk about Careem, the Everything app, and we talk about other apps and how they're growing, etc. Your services seem to be growing substantially at the moment as well, because no longer you just let us collect your luggage. You can sanitize that luggage. There's the old land and leave. There's the storage as well. Are you constantly adding services?
We are. So we're adding services services and the product offerings themselves. And this is, again, based on following the customer journey or the passenger journey from the time they leave their homes all the time they until they come back. So this started after COVID. You said it's a small matter. It was considerably changed the trajectory of the business, but we pivoted to become not only a convenient and luxurious service, but also as the safety element to passengers. So sanitization was introduced back then, and then after COVID stopped and the whole travel came back to the pre-pandemic days, we are offering now more partnerships with airlines. For example, our service is complimentary for Emirates First Class passengers and Skywards Premium. And for the arrivals, so after people go on their summer vacations, they also come back with a lot of bags and they want to come back straight to their homes or hotels. So the land and leave allows them to land in the airport and straight away go to their homes. We collect the bags from the baggage belt and deliver it whenever and wherever they want.
Are these services just available in Dubai, or are you looking to expand in the future?
So today they're Dubai and Sharjah.
And Sharjah.
Across the UAE, it depends on the seasons, depending on the events. So we do also sports events from different sports groups. Check-in from different parts of the UAE. Outside the UAE, we are doing more technology projects. So we are involved in integrating our systems with airport systems in few innovative and big airports in the region.
It's a great service and one that, as I said, can be a little bit of a game changer, especially if you have plenty of luggage. If you just want the hassle taken away, that's for sure. I can't thank you enough. I know it's going to be a busy summer for you. So thanks so much indeed for giving us so much time this morning. Our thanks to Samer Sup, the COO, but also the co-founder of Dubs by Donata.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.